appreciate it. We'll be right back with the commissioner, Commissioner Scott Soares, the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources, and our man from CESA, Phil Corman.
And now back to the Bill Dwight Show.
Hello. How are you? It's now a once-a-month deal, actually. We're speaking with Phil Corman, our man from CESA, Communities Involved in Sustaining Agriculture, and then also the commissioner, Commissioner Scott Soares, who's from the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources, the very long title, which it's put. And Scott's come back. We've now been speaking with Scott about once a month, and along with Phil about things. Actually, we were talking with gubernatorial candidate Jill Stein. She was heaping praise upon us. Go figure, because she is running for office after all. But the one of the things that she mentioned and that she continued to focus on was the fact that out here in the western part of the state that we are becoming fairly successful in developing a sustainable food system and a sustainable inventory and market here in the valley that's localized instead of broader. And of course, my point to her was we did that out of necessity because we felt we were starving here and getting ignored. But I don't think she got the joke. But anyway, so that's what I'd like to talk with you guys about today is building the local food system and what that means beyond what we see in a grocery store. And first of all, thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it. I know Scott's not feeling particularly well, and Phil's feeling tired from cross-country skiing in the slush. Is that right?
Slushing locally.
Very good. Yes. Yeah. When we talk about the local food system, it sounds like a rather impressive term. It sounds almost corporate, but what are we talking about?
Yeah, I think it's just the catchword for talking about all aspects of how we grow the food and get it onto our tables. And, you take a look 50 years ago when Massachusetts was growing 50% of its food for consumption inside of the state. And nowadays, I've seen many different numbers, not well documented, anywhere from 5 to 15% of the food that we're eating comes locally to us. And so I think if you take a look at the last 50 years, what we've seen is a defunding of smaller New England style agriculture and everything that supports it, whether how we transport it, how we process it, and all those different aspects of getting the food from the ground to the table, to really on the federal level, really supporting very large agriculture.
And so that commissioner, that trend towards supporting factory farms and the like was supposed to create efficiency or something or something, but the adverse effect is the ones we're discovering now. Maybe too late, or is it too late?
I don't think it is too late. In fact, it was, I think, pretty clear when Governor Patrick came into office, the commitment that he made toward farmland preservation as one component. When we start to look at agricultural sustainability and growth in local food movements, we need to think about all of the different component parts that make that happen. So certainly things like preserving the base, preserving the farmland itself first, is a key component. And we've already reached some pretty high watermarks last year. In fact, we supported 33 different projects, almost 2,000 acres that were permanently protected for agriculture across the state. Most of that is, in fact, in western Massachusetts. Hadley, just up the street here, is, in fact, one of the places where we've seen the highest level of farmland protection in the state. And I think it's important to recognize that the connections between western Mass and eastern Mass or northeastern Mass or central Mass need to be strong, in that we can look at majority of food production in certain areas in the state and think about really regional food sheds, if we can frame them that, where we can have production in areas where it's very well suited for production, such as the soils that we have out here in western Mass, as well as consumption of local food products where we have the highest population centers, primarily towards the eastern part of the state. So I think holistically we're looking at some improvements just in the recent years where we are building that local food system based on the ground up, first looking, no pun intended, at farmland preservation, and also looking at ways that we can improve infrastructure, things like slaughter capacity as an example, to look at better supplies of local meat, local poultry as another example.
Slaughter capacity, there's a term.
It's right.
That's the name of my next band.
You said I'm not feeling well today, so pardon the
slip. No, that was great. But when we're saying local food system, you're talking, when you're saying holistically, you're speaking about the state, providing for the state. So not exporting so much, but keeping the food system insular? Is it, I mean, is that an inappropriate term? But we're at least keeping it localized.
Keeping it local without the state. No, I think you're right. Keeping it local and buying as local as you can when you have the opportunity to buy local. As an example, the dairy industry, as we all know, has gone through some pretty tough times recently. But as we look at milk consumption, not only in Massachusetts but throughout New England, we can start to look at milk as more and more of a milk shed. And I've already said food shed, but a milk shed where we look at where the highest volume of production occurs and where the highest volume of consumption occurs and take advantage of the local markets. I know we have some great local producers here in Massachusetts that go from soup to nuts. They're not only milking the cows and raising the cows, but they're bottling and providing a local product. So when individuals have the opportunity to buy that local product, when they have access to it, just up the street here, I know that, as an example, Maple Line Farms has a lot of market up in Amherst, that the individuals in the community can take advantage of that. Similarly, when we see the roadside stands open up during the height of the season, when we see the 200-plus farmers markets open up throughout the state, there's a great opportunity there for people to buy that local product when it's available to them to buy that local product.
Well, one of the things, and we're speaking with Scott Soares and Phil Corman. Scott Soares is the commissioner, we'll call him the commissioner of agriculture here just to abbreviate things. But the one of the things I would imagine the benefits of having a local system is responsiveness to the markets, as it were. One of the big things about the dairy industry is it became gargantuan and then it became subsidized in order to sustain the farms that existed, but generating too much milk, and so they were reacting to a mega system. Locally, the dairies that can be more responsive, more reactive to the markets, and make more sense.
Absolutely. I think another big part playing into all this was food security issues, food safety issues, as well as the knowledge that individuals have as to how that product is produced, its impact on the environment when those products are produced in their own communities. So the ways that individuals can better know their farmers, they can better understand where their food comes from and where how that food is produced. So that those kinds of factors are really what's driving a lot of what we see in the interest around Buy Local. But I think, again, maintaining and building the infrastructure and strengthening the infrastructure ensures that we continue to have a strong agricultural base here in the Commonwealth.
Well, Phil, this is what we've been talking about forever, right? And the things that we lost that when what happened, as you described, when we suddenly went corporate and factory farms, these are the things that were lost to us, and we didn't realize essentially how precious they were. We were only talking about the commodity, the consumable commodity that was supposed to save us money when we went to these massive systems.
Right. I mean, basically, you know, we've gotten this notion that the cheaper the food, the better it is, in the sense that it didn't cost us much. But actually, food as a cost of our budget has actually gone down over time. And part of that is because large businesses that get these economies of scale, and even though we've lost a certain freshness and healthiness of the food because it can sit on a shelf without it withering in any way,
and doesn't mind flavor
and flavor and taste, but you know, you just let it go. I think what's so important here is that when we think local, obviously it's best to think as local as possible, but it's important to think about it statewide too, because Scott has the opportunity as the commissioner to have certain policies in place so that we can be benefiting farms across the state. We have opportunities to fund, you know, innovation in the state. And certainly, you know, the next circle out would be New England, because there's a lot we share in terms of being small family farms and in agriculture and how close it is. But, it just comes down to, are we going to take that those dollars we have in the pocket and spend them wisely, which means I'm investing in my community when I buy my food?
We're speaking with Phil Corman, our man from CESA, Communities Involved in Sustaining Agriculture, and Scott Soares, who we're going to call the Agriculture Commission because we haven't got the time to say his whole title because we'll be in the commercial break. But the system as we see it now is, you see, I gather you're saying that it's burgeoning. It's starting to grow. It's actually rebounding from a low point. What would you say that low point was? When round was that low point?
Well, first, not to pick on the pun, but it is beginning to grow. It's I think we saw back starting in 2006, where there were concerns around food safety and food scares. I think the spinach contamination
in California factory farms. By the way, the name of the primary farm, the violation of the primary violator of the, I think, fecal matter on the spinach, was the name of the place was called Natural Selections.
Interesting.
Which, yeah, well.
Great marketing.
Yeah. Culling the herd, as it were. But I'm sorry, go on. I interrupted. Yeah.
But I think that it was a part of it. But we've also seen shifts at the national level over how much of the farm gate value, how many dollars are actually generated nationally from commodity crops versus specialty crops. So specialty crops, other than the corn, soybeans, wheat, the big commodity crops that you are more familiar to, the Midwestern states. And we did see a shift with the last farm bill that, in fact, there was a majority, so over 51% of the farm gate value that was realized nationally actually was coming from specialty crops, which played well for Massachusetts, where we have all, in fact, specialty crops is what we grow here in the Commonwealth.
Things like maple syrup and things
maple
like
syrup,
that.
Cranberries, asparagus. Apples, asparagus, right. You name it. That those are specialty crops. So as a result of that shift, there was a shift concurrently in the farm bill that gave us more resources to help enhance specialty crop purchasing, specialty crop development. And we've seen those things continue through with the current administration. Well, we've seen most recently things like high tunnel houses that now there is a program out providing these to growers so they can extend the season to, again, look at specialty crops, but in this case, root crops or leafy greens or other kinds of crops that work well on the shoulder seasons of the agricultural growing seasons.
We're speaking with Scott Soares, who's the agricultural commissioner here in the state of Massachusetts, Phil Corman, our man from CISA. When we come back, I want to talk about, now we've talked about the farming part, we want to talk about the point of sale and the points of where we are able to purchase and get our foods here locally and how we keep that local as well. We'll be right back with this gentleman.
And now back to the Bill Dwight Show.
Hello, we're speaking with, local food systems with the agricultural commission of the state of Massachusetts here, Scott Soares, and our man from CISA, Phil Corman. Communities involved in sustaining agriculture. And we were talking about the farms and the value of farms and maintaining open space. We've this is a drumbeat with us. This is because this is a catechism for me, as far as I'm concerned. But and the importance of buying local and so on and so forth. Now comes the point of sale because Scott, as you were saying, this is the system's holistic within the state, and clearly the market is towards the east. It's in the hub. That's why it's called the hub. The capital of Boston and surrounding neighborhoods. We out here tend to buy local fairly often, but as we could see by our votes in the most recent election, we don't carry quite as much juice, as it were. So what about Boston? Are there point-of-sale places in Boston that allow us to expand this local food system?
There are, in fact, across the state, and last year was a good example of the kind of growth that we've seen that really mirrored the interest that we're seeing around buying local that I think borrow a lot from what you've said has happened already out here in the western part of the state. But growth in farmers markets in particular, we saw growth from 160 in the 2008 production year to 202 in the 2009 production year, which is significant growth, growth like we've never seen all across the state. But certainly some of those markets also occurred in the more urbanized areas of the state out in the eastern part of the Commonwealth. Many of the growers, in fact, that attend those farmers markets are growers who come from the western part of the state. They'll grow their product out here, and they'll travel to those different farmers markets. And it's not uncommon for one farmer to attend maybe five different farmers markets throughout the week and making that their primary outlet for sale of their product.
Well, another point of sale, of course, is grocery stores and restaurants.
That's right.
And do you find – well, actually, maybe, Bill, do you find that there's – a greater uptick in purchases from restaurants?
We just started tracking it, and the 35 restaurants that are part of our Local Hero program actually purchased about $1 million worth of local food and farm products just here in the three counties. And, you know, when you see new restaurants open, it's really clear a lot of them are focused on buying local, and they're making that part of their menu because they understand that folks are asking for the freshest, tastiest food, and the freshest really to get is local. The other part I wanted to share back is that, as Scott was saying, a lot of our farmers are really essential to meeting the need and clamor that's happening in Boston. I think part of the challenge we have is having people in Boston think first about Massachusetts and that we're only 100 miles away here before they start thinking about buying from Maine, for instance.
Right.
And again, the reason that's important is because the more buying we have internally to the state, the better the state economy can be and the better we can shepherd the growth of local agriculture and family farms here.
Well, the Local Hero campaign has been quite successful here. That's part of CISA's. Everyone's familiar with the iconic yellow sticker that says we're Local Hero when they walk into a restaurant here. Is there an equivalent to that out in the Boston area?
Yeah, actually, and CISA really set the pace as far as the buy local organizations, but we've been involved now with the funding and support of various buy local efforts across the state that CISA has been working closely with. So as an example, down in the southeastern part of the state, we have a Southeastern Mass Ag Partnership that does similar work to what CISA has been doing out here in the western part of the state for some time. And the Berkshires, the Berkshire Grown Initiative, right, does a similar kind of work. And up towards Boston, the Northeast, Northeast Harvest, are similar, doing the similar kind of work, making those connections between the farming community as well as the consumers who, as Phil mentioned, are really clamoring for that local product. They want to get at that local product. Restaurateurs, other retail outlets have identified that as a real marketing opportunity for them. They're going to give the consumers what they ask for. And the consumers, as they come in asking for that local product, they're going to source those local products and provide those. So we've also ramped up things like a culinary tourism program, guiding people to restaurants that, in fact, capture that fact that they're buying local product and providing that local product through their menus at the different restaurants. And a lot of this is old news for what has been going on out here in Western Mass, but it's been a real successful model across the state now that's worked well for the farming community as well as the consumers who are trying to source that local product.
The reason Scott Soares knows about across the state is because he's the commissioner who presides over the agricultural system here in the state of Massachusetts. And We've created an identity out here in Western Mass that actually is fairly commonplace with CISA.
It is, Bill. But one thing I do want to add is when I also think of a population center, I mean, Hampden County is twice the population of Hampshire and Franklin combined.
Right.
And CISA's been doing work in Hampden County for years, but we don't have quite the same profile level for a lot of reasons that we do in Hampshire and Franklin. One part of that is that it's more economically diverse, more culturally diverse, and there's urban centers. So you're not seeing farms on your way to work as much as you do in the other two counties. So we are starting to try to put more resources and garner more resources to help farmers markets down in Hampden County. We want to bring our one-day winter fair that we did in Northampton this year. We'd like to bring it to Hampden County because, again, there's a lot of people who live there, and it should be a market that's more accessible to farmers who are farming in all three counties.
Well, I mean, that's part of the challenge that we're talking about here, because it's as Scott was saying, what drives the market, of course, is the consumer expectations. The consumers demand these things. We've got a fairly as you noted, in the western part of the state here, particularly in the Pioneer Valley, we tend to demand it. The retailers tend to respond. I imagine that's a little slower progress is because of the reasons that Phil described in more more densely populated areas.
Yeah, absolutely. But nonetheless, we're seeing that where we can educate individuals as far as where that product's available, how they can access it, that in fact they begin to start accessing that. And I think it's for a long time been misconceived that it necessarily because it's local, it's actually more expensive. But that's not always the case. That in fact, when products are in season, they can be very competitive, if not less expensive, than products that are imported from other places. So actually guiding people to the places where they can identify, source that local product, has worked well to try to expand our ability to get that product to other places where it may not have been before.
And also, I mean, the associated costs, of course, that we don't, the hidden costs, as we emphasize here over and over again, but it's not reflected necessarily on the price tag. There are other costs associated with buying things that are shipped from Chile, say.
And I wanted to mention one other point of purchase, which is really appropriate right now, which is folks who are interested in buying a farm share from a CSA farm. Now's the time to make that commitment because they will start selling out. So if you go to buylocalfood.org, the CISA website, we have a list of all the CSA farms in Western Mass that are part of our program and the information for buying a farm share. We're now growing at least 5,000 farm shares among our farmers, and actually 1,000 of them actually are going to the Boston area.
Community Supported Agriculture, which is a CSA, and that's where you get to invest. You basically buy a guaranteed basket of food on a regular basis. You prepay the farmer, and that allows them to invest the money in their farm and allows you to go get fresh produce from the farmer directly, which is becoming a pretty big phenomenon here, too.
Absolutely. We've seen incredible growth, over 200 CSAs now across the state. That, as Phil mentioned, most of them do sell out each year. So just one other plug I'd like to throw out there, that for folks who are interested in learning more about what's happening across the state, things that definitely impact agriculture here in the western part of the state as well, I actually have started tweeting now also. So I have a tweet site now with AgCommissSoares at Twitter.com. So for folks who are interested in following what we're doing across the state, we've gone into that new media communication.
The commissioner is tweeting. And well, thank you, Phil. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. All the websites will be posted on our page at whmp.com. Thank you. We'll see you guys next month, possibly. Is that right?
I hope so. I think we're scheduling out a month in advance, so I'm looking forward to coming
Excellent.
Back.
Me too. And we'll be talking with local farmers, hopefully, as the spring starts to break, the snow melts away. Thank you very much, you guys. So tomorrow, that's us over at Sirio's. Won't you join us? We'll be talking to Ed Sullivan and the cast of Bye Bye Birdie. Also tonight, Voices from Haiti at the Academy of Music, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Tracy Kidder, poetry students raising money for Partners in Health. Talk to you tomorrow. Take care.